Look at what it says now. I'm gonna get through. And the Bible says they walked around for 6 days and they didn't say a word. They walked around and they were obedient. That's the first thing we gotta understand, that our obedience is better than sacrifice. They were obedient to what Joshua said. They ain't getting mad and say, you know, Joshua, old man, we ain't gotta listen to him. We can do our own thing and get this city. No, they listened to what Joshua said. And the Bible says that God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Do you know that God will be with each generation? God will.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Passage of scripture found in Romans 12. I want to commence with verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, getting yourself together. Getting yourself together. As we end this year and prepare for a new year, there's much talk and there's much anticipation about getting ourselves together for and anticipating what the new year is going to bring. But there is a ready word that says to us, that places us in a preparation mode, so much so that we will find ourselves getting ourselves ready for the next level experience. There's always, no matter where you are, a need for preparation for moving forward, for moving onward, for moving upward. Whenever we cease to prepare to get ourselves ready for the next level experience, for moving onward and for moving forward, we soon find ourselves stuck in a rut, drained and depleted of the joy and the desire to move life with effervescence and move life in the spirit of Jesus Christ, who was always about doing things with a spirit of excellence. When we recognize here this word to the Romans, Paul speaks about getting themselves together. It is in anticipation for the greater things ahead. What I want to say about where you are right now is altogether, if not totally, the choice, the preparation, and the doing of what you've done in the past. Whether you're enjoying the blessings and benefits of the present, or whether you're going through some troubles, trials, and tribulations, God has allowed your decisions and your preparations of the past to allow you to live on the level you're presently on. Now, don't get me wrong, all of us go through trials and tribulations. But some of us never experience the blessings and the benefit that comes with having gone through. God doesn't send you through just to send you through. It's either for one of two things, either for a lesson or for a blessing or for both. And some of us just come out of trials and tribulations with lessons and never the blessings, because we've not operated nor prepared ourselves for what God has next. Whenever you reach one level, don't think that's all there is with God. God is constantly preparing you for his best that is always in the incoming mode, always something that is to come. God never gives you his best in totality at once because you could not handle it. When you look at how God has blessed your life over the years and how he has increased you over the years, have you ever wondered why he didn't give you what he's given you now 10 years ago? 20 years ago? Why he's brought you into some places and positions and given you authority now that he didn't give you in earlier years of your life? Can you think about what you would have done then if you had what you have now? Some of you would not probably still be in the church. God opens up doors, bless you, and you get beside yourself. You think you all that and everything else. And God knew if he had blessed you then, like he's blessed you now, you could not have handled it. And so we've got to prepare ourselves for the best that is always incoming for the believer. Now let's walk through that, because there are eight things I want to say in these two verses. And I want you to write down if you've got pen and paper. The first thing is the call. The call. Look at what he says. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He's calling on those, listen at this, who are born again. This word is for the believers. It's for the family of God. It is not for the world. It is for the believers. So when you hear this word, God is speaking to you through this word, and he's calling the attention. He's alerting the believer to understand the call that God has upon their lives. God is calling you to a better place. God is calling you to a higher place. God is calling you to a promotion from where you are to where he wants you to be, but you have got to be ready to be promoted. You got a whole lot of folk who would love to have a promotion, but ain't prepared for one. They love to get paid on another level, but they can't do the work on another level. You've got to be ready to assume the position in order to get the pay that God has prepared for those who are prepared. So the call is, I beseech you, it is an earnest cry, an earnest call to the brethren, to the brothers and sisters of the faith. Well, after the call comes the consecration. Look at what he says. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. Now he's talking about the consecration. Because you can't become consecrated till you've been called. And once you've been called, then God expects you now to consecrate yourself. That means to get yourself in a place where God can use you. That means to make yourself available to God. That means to withdraw from the things of the flesh and the desires of the flesh that bring sin to the body. It literally means that ye present your bodies as consecrated bodies, bodies worthy that represent the temple of God, so that the Spirit of God can dwell on the inside of you. So you've got your call, you've got your consecration. Now here's what you need to understand, that the rest of this scripture won't really make a lot of sense until you consecrate yourself. See, because God cannot dwell in unclean temples. And so if you don't get your body right, if you don't get that part of you that the enemy wants to use for his desire, and his desire is always to destroy you, then he will wreak havoc in your flesh. That's why Paul said, I crucify this flesh daily. I don't care how holy you are today. If God gives you tomorrow, you better look out. Because if the devil didn't try you that way yesterday, he's going to try you this way today. And see, what the devil does is he keeps on hitting, and he keeps on picking, and he keeps on touching, and he keeps on turning, and he keeps on seeking whom he may devour. And if you are not consecrated, then you're a candidate for the devil doing his due to you. So you've got to be consecrated. Tell somebody you got to be consecrated. Now, after he consecrates, listen, and he gives the opportunity for the believer to consecrate himself, he now gives you a charge. A charge. Look at what he says. He says that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You have a charge to make your body a living sacrifice. Now, Paul puts this in the terms, a living sacrifice, which is really a play on words, because what he literally knows that they think of when he talks about a sacrifice are the dead animals that were sacrificed and their blood was given for atonement, etc. So when you talk about sacrifices in biblical times, it literally meant some animal dying, giving his blood so that others might be redeemed or atoned. So now when he talks about the believer who is consecrated and called, having this charge to live a life that is sacrificial, he says, keep your blood, just live holy. I'm not trying to have you make a sacrifice and you die. He said that would be an easy thing, to give yourself up one time, die, and sacrifice for the cause of Christ. He said, but you know what's harder than giving your life and dying one time as a sacrifice? Living and giving yourself daily as a sacrifice. Lord, y'all not talking to me today. Do you know how hard it really is to walk, talk, and live a consecrated life, careful and cautious about what you say, what you do, who you talk to, how you talk to, who you hang out with, what your activities are, what your ambitions are, all of these things that you've got to deal with to make sure that they're on a level that pleases God? That's a living. Do you know what it means? You've got to give up what you enjoy. Stop hanging with the folk you enjoy hanging with. Stop going to the places you enjoy. Stop the activities you enjoy. When you realize all of this, it's a you'll be ready to say, Lord, let me just go and die one time and give it all up to you. But a living sacrifice means that you are conscious every day of what it costs to live saved. I mean, when folk cuss you out, you before you say you, you gotta say, bless you. Because you're living a sacrificial. I wish I had somebody here. Folk get on your last nerve, work you like they know they can work you. And before you let it go, before you let it slip, before those words come out that ain't in the Bible, you got to, I'm living a sacrificial. When folk do you wrong, misuse you, talk about you, lie on you, set traps up for you, on, you got to remember you can't do them back because you are living a sacrificial life.
When they call on your job and require you to do more than they're paying you to do, you got to realize you're representing Christ. You're doing this as unto the Lord. You're making a difference because you are different. You're living a sacrificial, y'all getting quiet on me here, life. And the record goes on, and you got to realize it's a charge to live a sacrificial life. I can promise you, if you live a sacrificial life, you'll know it. Somebody didn't get that. I say, if you live a sacrificial life, you will know it. Because here's what you need to realize. You're not just giving up stuff that's bad. You're giving up stuff that's good to you. And so, a charge. Tell somebody a charge to live sacrificially. But after we live sacrificially as a charge, here comes the challenge. Challenge. What is the challenge? Here it is right in the word. Holy, acceptable unto God. So not only are you living a sacrificial life, but this life is challenged to be holy and acceptable unto God. Now listen to this, because if it's not acceptable to nobody else, your sacrifice of holy living is unto God. Man may not understand it. Man may not like it. Man may not want to participate with you. But your living sacrifice is to be holy and acceptable unto God. Why is it necessary that it be unto God and not unto man? Because God is the one who's going to reward you. But not only that, there is a command to be holy, even as your Father which is in heaven is holy. And so holiness becomes a part of the living sacrifice that God requires of every believer. Holy and acceptable unto God. And again, my brothers and sisters, when you recognize that if it is holy, it will be acceptable unto God. Now, again, keeping in mind that when you please God, you displease the devil and most mankind. So don't think because of your holy living is going to make folk love you anymore, treat you any better. As a matter of fact, the holier you live, the more enemies you have. The holier you live, the more the enemy is going to attack you. But the holier you live, the more power God gives to you. The holier you live, the closer you become to God. The holier you live, the more God's presence becomes yours, and he blesses you with his gifts and with his power, and he gives you joy that is more than you can even understand or comprehend when you live a holy life. My brothers and sisters, you begin to experience life on another level. God catches you up in what we call the glory cloud, where he shows you some things that are yet to come, and you're still on earth, but he's got you fellowshipping in the heavenly realms and showing you things that no one else has seen. And he prepares you for what is ahead and gives you a glimpse to let you know your sacrifice is not in vain. So not only do we have a call and we have consecration and a charge and a challenge to live a holy and acceptable life, but then we have a command. Look at what follows now. It says, which is your reasonable service? Paul is saying, listen, this is a command. I don't want you to think it's an option. Because if you're getting yourself together to go where God wants you to go, to have what God wants you to have, to do what God wants you to do, this is a command. It is your reasonable service. So when you begin to think about, wait a minute, I've got to live holy, that's my reasonable service. I've got to live sacrificially, that's my reasonable service. Sir, I've got to be consecrated. That's my reasonable service. And when God calls you, he calls you to this reasonable service. And see, when you can come to the point where you say, God, no matter what you've got to go through to get yourself together, It's my reasonable service. Why is it your reasonable service? And I'm glad you asked this question. Because Jesus saved you, paid for your life with his precious and pure blood, gave you an opportunity to become like him. It's the least you can do. The least you can do. He didn't save you to act like you saved yourself. He didn't save you so you can become an island unto yourself. He didn't save you so you could disrespect the Savior. He didn't save you so that you could live out your life the way that you want to live out, not taking into respect that God saved you for. But he saved you so that you can be one of his, operating in his word, operating in his will, and operating in his way, which is your reasonable service. Here's another reason why it's reasonable. Because as a living sacrifice, as opposed to a dead sacrifice, if you were dead, you couldn't do it. And so he makes you a living sacrifice so you can do it. And so that's a part of your sacrifice and your reasonable. So I don't care how heavy and how hard it gets, it beats being dead. See, in other words, when you recognize that whatever God asks you to do, calls you to do, consecrates you to do, it is because God knows it is reasonable. It is not some unreasonable task he's asking. He's not asking you to do what he's not empowered you to do. He's not asking you to go where he's not giving you the ability to go. He's not asking anything of you he's not already provided for you. And so we ought to have and adapt the mentality that it's my reasonable. Some of us figure coming to church one Sunday or one day out of the week on Sunday is my reasonable service. No, my brother, my sister, that ain't the reasonable service. That should be a pleasure. That should be a privilege. You hadn't even gotten to the service. This is just a worship. You don't come here to serve the Lord. You worship and praise him and glorify, but you go out of these doors to serve the Lord. And that ought to be a part of your daily activity. And so that's a part of your reasonable. It will change how you feel about the things God has called you to do if you see it as a reasonable service for letting you stay here another day. I guarantee you, if God would bring you to the brink of death and almost take your life, and you spend a few moments with knowing you're about to cross over, and then it'd be clear about the unfinished business you've had waiting on you, and you'd want God to spare your life. Listen, one prophet, Hezekiah, was told by Isaiah, get his house in order because he was going to die. Now, this man turned his face to the wall, prayed a 32-word prayer, and reminded God that he was faithful to God, doing what God had required of him, and God sends Isaiah, who makes it to the court, to go back into his room and tell him, I've heard your prayers, and I'm adding 15 years to his life. And my brothers and sisters, I'm trying to tell you, when you do what is your reasonable service, you can go before God and request of God things that those who don't do their reasonable service can't request of him and get. And so when you do your reasonable service, very few things you'll ever be turned down very God for, because you will be walking in holiness, you will be living sacrificially, thus you will be honoring God and his word and his will and his way, and therefore it is his good pleasure to bless you. Bless you. Well, not only have we dealt with the call and the consecration, the charge and the challenge and the command, but next thing I want you to see is conforming. Because look at what the word says again, verse 2 now. And be not conformed, past tense. But the understanding here is to not be conforming. Because if you keep conforming, before it's over, you'll be conformed. In other words, if you keep doing it before it's over, you have done it. That's right. Nothing gets done unless you do it. And it's the keep on doing it part that makes you do it so that in the end it's done. And he's literally saying, do not continue to conform, to mold yourself after, to follow the example of the world. Sometimes I look in the church and I see the world in our fashion, see it in our style, see it in our action, see it in our attitude, see it in our ambition, see it in the ways that ought not be a part of the Christian makeup. But it's because we are conforming. And here's what you don't understand. The devil gets you to do little things. And if he gets you to do enough little things, then it won't be hard to get you to get to do larger things. And then when he gets you to the point where he has gotten you where he wants you, which is turned out, then he can make you do anything. Are y'all listening to me here? That's why you got to recognize that you should not be conforming, following the example, shaping and molding yourself like the world. Because all of these are little signs that the world's influences are taking over your life. It's making your witness weak. It's causing you to become more like the world more than like the word. And then you blend in, and therefore you become ineffective. Salt that is good for nothing, no savor, is to be trodden under of the foot of men because it is cast out. When you no longer seek to be what God has called you to be, you no longer have an effect on people. See, when you've got salt and when you've got light, you have the ability to affect everything you change. You go in a dark situation, listen at this, they're going to know you there because the place just got brighter. Stuff that's bland and tasteless and dull, they're going to know you there. Because you've seasoned up the thing. It tastes good now. It tastes right now. It's got flavor to it because you showed up. But when you have lost your savor, when you have lost your illumination, when you fit in with the world, they don't even know you're there because you don't make a difference because you do not affect things because you have become conformed. You know, you used to look at a Christian dress, and you can tell that was the way a Christian, because of the way they dress. Now in church, you got to wonder. It's like a jungle sometimes that make me wonder how I keep from going under. You can't really tell. Are you a Christian or are you a sinner coming to church to become? Because I firmly believe that you can't clean fish till you catch fish. So if they come in here like that, I ain't got no issue if they left the club coming to the church looking for Christ. My problem is when they found Christ and they come to church looking like they just left the club. You ain't got to say, man, I know I'm right. Sisters, I keep telling you, you can't show all your stuff and act like you want somebody to treat you like a lady. Well, if the lady is acting like a tramp, you ain't got the same man. I'm talking about getting yourself together. You want somebody respectable, then respect yourself.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L. Dell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry. Partner with